As always, Lord, we ask that you would slow us down now. Help us to sense your spirit moving. Open your word to us. And please, please open our hearts to you. In your name we pray. Amen. This is the theme of Galatians. There's only one gospel, the gospel of grace, which sets us free and it doesn't change. As a result, we should stick to it like a burr on a long-haired dog. Now, no doubt you've heard the poem, the children's poem, "There Was an Old Lady Who Swallowed a Fly." How about this version by yours truly? "There was an old lady who swallowed a lie. Don't know why she swallowed a lie. Perhaps she'll die. There was an old lady who swallowed a lie. I don't know why she swallowed the lie. The lie she was fed got into her head. Don't know why she swallowed the lie. Perhaps she'll die. There was an old lady who swallowed a lie. I don't know why she swallowed the lie. The lie she was fed got into her head. She wandered from God's word. How absurd. Don't know why she swallowed a lie. Perhaps she'll die. There was an old lady who swallowed a lie. I don't know why she swallowed the lie. The lie she was fed got into her head. She wandered from God's word. How absurd. She turned from grace. What a disgrace. I don't know why she swallowed the lie. Perhaps she'll die. There was an old lady who swallowed a lie. I don't know why she swallowed the lie. The lie she was fed got into her head. She wandered from God's word. How absurd. She turned from grace. What a disgrace. In a fog, she strayed like a dog. Don't know why she swallowed the lie. Perhaps she'll die. There was an old lady who swallowed it all. Sad to say, I saw her fall. Though she was a dear, she perished, I fear." Nonsense poem, right? Well, turn with me, if you want, to Galatians 1, 6 and 9, 6 through 9. In light of what was going down in Galatia, when Paul sent this epistle to them, he certainly wouldn't have thought the poem was total nonsense. The fact is, there are always people within the church who are willing to swallow a lie, and other people within the church who are more than willing to spoon feed those lies to them. So look at how willing some people in the church are to swallow a lie. Consider the Galatians, verse 6. The Apostle Paul said to them, verse 6, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel." Let me make a few observations about the verse. One, note how the Galatians were deserting him who called them, how they were deserting Jesus Christ. And how were they doing this? They were doing it by turning to a different gospel. Turning to a different gospel than the one that Paul preached to them when he was among them. Now this is important. When a person turns their back on the true gospel and turns to a different one, they are not only turning their back on the gospel, they are turning their back on Jesus Christ. That ought to give pause to some so-called Christians within the church. When we turn from the gospel, we turn from Jesus Christ. Two, the word "different" in the same verse. The word "different" in the Greek is heteros, and it refers to something that is not only different in number, but also different in substance. So when a person adds to the gospel, subtracts from the gospel, preaches a different gospel, any gospel other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, they are preaching a heteros, a different gospel. They are preaching something that is not only different in number, another gospel, they are preaching something that is also different in substance, meaning it's not a gospel at all. And that ought to give pause to some so-called Christian preachers and teachers in the church. 3, the Galatians were quickly deserting him who called them. Paul probably planted the church in Galatia, the churches in Galatia, around 48 AD or so. A few years later, we're just talking a handful of years later, they are quickly deserting Jesus Christ and the gospel of grace. And Paul said he was astonished at this. Why was he astonished? Because people were turning from the gospel? I don't think so. He dealt with this issue in many of his epistles. I don't think it was shocking to him. I think he was astonished because the Galatians seemed to be grounded in their faith. In chapter 4, he talks about how they warmly and graciously and eagerly received him and the gospel. And so to all appearances, it seemed as if the Galatians were solid, grounded. And they were the ones who were quickly deserting the gospel in Jesus Christ. So that it is easy to stray from the gospel and hence from Christ, and that even well-grounded Christians do that, that ought to serve a warning for all of us in the church. And we probably have all seen it happen, haven't we? We've all seen people who seem to be so solid, so grounded in their faith, who then wandered from the Lord, wandered from the gospel, swallowed a lie, left the church, and sometimes you never see them again. When I was in Campus Crusade, we called this tubing, as in going down the tube. But it's sad. It's always sad. Anytime you see it happen. Look now at how willing some people in the church are to spoon feed others in the church their lies. And again, consider the Galatians. Verse 7 now, Paul said, "Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of grace." Again, let me make a few observations. First one, the word "another" is different than the word "different" in the previous verse. This one refers to something that is new in number, but the same in substance. So Paul said that when someone preaches another gospel, it's new in number, it's a new thing in that sense, but it's not the same in substance. It's not anything at all like the true gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said there's no such thing as another gospel. There's only one. All the rest are so-called gospels, and they are totally different in substance than the gospel of grace. And obviously, that's because the gospel of grace comes directly from Jesus Christ, whereas the so-called gospels are man's invention. Sadly, no matter how wrong some of those gospels are, some people in the church love to be intrigued by whatever is new. And so they prove to be a ready audience to those who preach their lies. Second observation, other so-called gospels are distortions, perversions. The word refers to something that has been transformed from one thing into its opposite. It's used in Acts 2:20 to refer to a time when sunlight was turned into darkness. So any so-called gospel is really what? The exact opposite of the gospel, an anti-gospel, if you will. So-called gospels might seem like the real deal, but they are perversions, distortions. Nothing more, nothing less. 3, those who preach those distortions trouble the church. This word literally means to stir up, and it's a strong word. In Acts 17:8, it referred to, it was used to describe how a crowd was stirred up to riot. Generically, the word was used to describe a tossing sea, and you know how a tossing sea stirs up everything, including the sediment on the bottom of the ocean or the bottom of the lake. Those who preach lies to the church do great damage to the church. Peter in 2 Peter 2:17 called these people waterless springs. Jude in Jude 1 through 12 called them fruitless trees. Those in the church who peddle lies appear to be refreshing springs, but they're waterless. They appear to be bountiful trees, but they're fruitless. They claim to build up the church, but they tear it down. They just cause trouble. That's it. Finally, are those who cause trouble in the church common or rare? You tell me. Paul warned the church about these people in this epistle, in his epistle to the Colossians, in his second letter to the Corinthians, in both of his letters to Timothy. The Apostle John warned about them in his first epistle, and Jesus warned the church about them in many places, Matthew 7, Matthew 24, and so on. They were common in those days. And if such troublers were common in those days, why do we think they're not common in our day when anything and everything goes? So to reiterate, there are always people within the church who are willing to swallow a lie, and other people within the church who are more than willing to spoon feed those lies to them. A classic case, Jim Jones. Remember him? In 1978, he persuaded his flock of followers to commit revolutionary suicide in the name of the Lord. Really? And that was supposed to somehow be in line with what Jesus taught? Really? And sadly, if you remember, over 900 people swallowed Jim Jones' lies and the Kool-Aid. And really? Hundreds of people honestly thought killing themselves and their kids was what God wanted them to do? Really? And of course, more than a few people in the church in our day and age are all too willing to follow any charlatan as long as he puts on a good show. And can I say, really? Was Jesus a charlatan? Did he put on a good show? So let's slow down a bit. Let's slow down a bit and consider some of the lies which are spoon-fed to the church and swallowed by many. For the Galatian, it appears that a number of the Jewish Christians told the Galatians, the Gentile Christians, that in order to be a good Christian, they needed to be a good Jew. They needed to follow the Old Testament law, be circumcised, and honor the Sabbath, honor the holidays, and so on and so forth. So they apparently said to the Galatian Gentiles, you must be a good Jew to be a good Christian. I don't think this is as common today as it was maybe 20, 30 years ago. But some people still say, what? You have to be a good Catholic or a good Lutheran or a good Baptist or a good Methodist to be a good Christian. That's a lie. That's a lie. Of course, we're much more open-minded in our day and age. As the saying goes, we've become so open-minded, our brains have fallen out. So we preach and teach different lies. For example, those who I call the Disney Christians say it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you believe in something. Really? So if I believe the squids can save us, you don't think I'm a fruitcake? You'll have to. Just believing in something in and of itself is of little value. You need to believe in the truth, in the gospel. And then there are those who I call Barney Christians. They believe everything would be hunky-dory if we just all loved each other. You know, I love you, you love me. If we all loved each other, everything would be just fine. Didn't we try that in the 60s? And how did that work out for our society? And now we're coming to ones that are more common. Some in the church say you just have to follow your heart and live authentically. Just be true to who you are, to your heart. Aren't our hearts fallen and deceitful above all things? Do we really want to follow them? Others say, you just have to learn to accept yourself because God made you just the way you are and loves you just the way you are. Well, first of all, God didn't make you just the way you are. Sin had a little bit to do with the way you are too. And second of all, God doesn't love you just the way you are, as if you are perfect. He loves you just the way he created you, and loves you despite the way you are, but he doesn't love you just the way you are. In fact, he wants you to return to him so that he can make you a little bit more like him. These are all lies, and you'll find them in the church. Now, most so-called gospels do indeed proclaim Jesus, but not the Jesus that you and I proclaim. The Jehovah Witnesses, they preach a Jesus who himself was created by God, the firstborn of all creation. The Muslims proclaim Jesus as their prophet, as one of the three great prophets, but not as the Son of God. Many liberal Christians think that Jesus is essentially a wonderful teacher. That is, if you get rid of all the supposed stuff he said about sin, judgment, and hell. Other than that, he was a wonderful teacher. The prosperity gospel preaches a Jesus whose mission, I guess, is to make us healthy, wealthy, comfortable, and happy. The name it and claim it gospel, they preach a Jesus who's little more than a genie in the bottle. You just rub it the right way and you get whatever you ask for. A lot of contemporary Christianity preaches a Jesus who is a wonderful friend, and he is. A lot of contemporary Christianity preaches a gospel of Jesus as a wonderful friend, but not as Savior and Lord. These are all distortions, perversions, lies. But lest we could critique others without examining our own heart, it's always important to then ask, well, where do I see this in myself? So lest we critique others without examining our own heart, how do you and I sometimes wander from the gospel of grace? You and I know, we know that God has adopted us and that we are his beloved. We know we are his children and he loves us more than we could ever imagine. And yet, sometimes we still try to win his favor, don't we? That's straying from the gospel of grace. In the same way, you and I we know that we do not have it in ourselves to be the person Jesus wants us to be and calls us to be. He's the vine, we are the branches. We know this. We know that we can do nothing of spiritual consequence by ourselves. And yet, sometimes we still try to do it, don't we? That's straying from the gospel of grace. One more. We also know that we are called to love God above all else, to trust ultimately only in him, and to yield fully to him and him alone. And we embrace that with our whole heart. And sometimes we don't. We don't always love, trust, or yield to God as we ought. And every time we don't, we are straying from the gospel of grace. And thankfully, Christ always does what? He always calls us and brings us back to himself. Praise God. We ought to recognize the lies that some people in the church try to spoon feed the church. And call those lies what they are: perversions, distortions, lies. And then in the same breath, we ought to confess where we ourselves have gone astray and seek God's loving kindness and restoration. But you know, Bible-believing Christians, you guys always make a big deal out of everything. Don't we just need to breathe? Why are we making such a big deal out of this? Well, once again, look at what Paul said to the Galatians. Verses 8 and 9, he said, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed." So once again, a few observations. Paul said that anyone who preaches a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you when we first came to Galatia, that person should be accursed. Literally, that person should be an anathema. And the word in the Greek means the same thing it means in the English. And he said this twice to emphasize his seriousness. Now, when one is an anathema, whether we're talking about the Greek word or the English word, what he said or did should be totally loathed. And he himself excommunicated from general society until the day he repents of what he said or did. I suppose the gist of what Paul said was this: if someone teaches a gospel contrary to the true gospel, may that person be totally shunned by the church. And if he doesn't repent, sent straight to hell. And he said it twice to emphasize how serious he was. In fact, later in Genesis 5:12, when he's again talking about these false teachers who say, you must follow all the Jewish law, you must be circumcised, you must follow the law, so on and so forth, Paul said in Galatians 5:1, I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate or castrate themselves. Strong, strong language. Second observation, Paul said, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a different gospel than the true one, even we or they, even we or he should be accursed, should be an anathema. Even if we, the apostles, or an angel from heaven should preach a different gospel, even if we did, we should be shunned by the church, excommunicated from the church. And if we didn't repent, sent straight to hell. We, the apostles. The apostles were the one that God used to speak the gospel to the church. Paul says, but even if we teach something other than what we've already taught, we should be accursed. And angels, of course, were messengers, servants of the Lord. Even if an angel came straight from heaven and preached a gospel other than the one that we preached to you already, that angel should be accursed. And yet sometimes people in the church will swallow a lie simply because a famous pastor preached it. I would not want to stand in the shoes of some of the church's so-called preachers and teachers when they stand before Christ and have to answer for the lies they spoon-fed his children. Indeed, consider what Jesus said about these teachers. He called them, Matthew 7:15, ravenous wolves. Matthew 23:27, whitewashed tombs. Luke 3:7, a brood of vipers. Luke 11:40, fools. Matthew 15:7, hypocrites. Matthew 23:24, blind guides. And then he said that when such supposed leaders in the church stood before him and pointed out all the marvelous things they did for the Lord, all the wonderful things they taught, all the marvelous things they did, he would say to them, Matthew 7:23, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Imagine thinking that you are leading others to heaven only to find out that you yourself are destined for hell because you lived and taught a lie. In the Old Testament, if someone spoke words of prophecy, which were supposedly from the Lord, and those words did not come true, then that prophet was supposed to be put to death. Deuteronomy 18, verse 20. And then when Christ returns, he will cast the beast and the false prophet, who will have by this time led the whole world astray with their lies, including God's own people. When Christ returns, he will cast them directly, Revelation 19:20, into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. They won't even stand before the great white throne to be judged. When Christ returns, he'll just throw them straight into hell. For those of you who like Monopoly, they will not pass go. They will not collect $200. They will go straight to hell. And they won't have a get out of jail card free. I guess it's a big deal when someone perverts the true gospel of grace. Once again, there was an old lady who swallowed a lie. I don't know why she swallowed a lie. Perhaps she'll die. There was an old lady who swallowed a lie. I don't know why she swallowed a lie. The lie she was fed got into her head. I don't know why she swallowed a lie. Perhaps she'll die. There was an old lady who swallowed a lie. I don't know why she swallowed a lie. The lie she was fed got into her head. She wandered from God's word. How absurd. I don't know why she swallowed a lie. Perhaps she'll die. There was an old lady who swallowed a lie. I don't know why she swallowed a lie. The lie she was fed got into her head. She wandered from God's word. How absurd. She turned from grace. What a disgrace. I don't know why she swallowed a lie. Perhaps she'll die. There was an old lady who swallowed a lie. I don't know why she swallowed a lie. The lie she was fed got into her head. She wondered from God's word. How absurd. She turned from grace. What a disgrace. In a fog, she strayed like a dog. I don't know why she swallowed a lie. Perhaps she'll die. There was an old lady who swallowed it all. Sad to say, I saw her fall. Though she was a dear, she perished, I fear. There's only one gospel, the gospel of grace, which sets us free, and it doesn't change, ever. And we should stick to it for all we're worth. We should stick to it like a burr on a long-haired dog. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace and for the good news of that grace. We confess our sinfulness to you. We need you. We need your grace. All of us, all of mankind, we need a Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for dying in our place. We love you. We adore you. In your name, amen.